morning is Olson versus Olson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court, my name's Eddie Rodell, and I represent the appellant, Kirstie Olson. I just want to address a little bit about the background on this case, because it's not a traditional divorce case. The parties were married in 2003. The child who was at issue here was born in 2004. The parties separated approximately 2007. Now, all of this took place in Minnesota. Approximately 2008, Ms. Olson and the child moved from Minnesota to Nebraska. And they were here for about 10 years before the divorce case was filed in Nebraska in Polk County. During that 10-year period, the child, again, was with Ms. Olson, and she was raising him. He had regular visitation with the father from Minnesota. They had a schedule that worked. Then upon filing of the divorce case, ultimately the matter came to trial back in November of last year. Back in November of last year. And at trial then, the court awarded Mr. Olson custody of the child and had the child returned to Minnesota at the conclusion of last fall's semester of school. So we're here today challenging and disputing the custody decision that was made by the lower court. I want to start first in that Nebraska Revised Statute 43-29-23 covers five different sub-factors that the court shall address when doing a custody analysis. The court indicates that they found no credible evidence by either side of any abuse toward the child or toward each other, so I think sub-factors D and E are automatically gone. So we're looking at the first three factors in here. And our position is that the court put an inordinate amount of weight upon the second factor, which was the preference of the child. The court overlooked a lot. Rather than doing a balancing test between these factors, the court indicated, you know, in looking at the first factor, which is the relationship of the child to each parent, the court talked about how the child had a great relationship with both mom, dad, mom's family, dad's family, and then also the court on the third factor, the general health, welfare, and social behavior of the minor child, the court said that Ms. Olson did an excellent job raising the child, that she was providing for his emotional and educational needs. In fact, the record showed that she homeschooled the child through fourth grade and into fifth grade to help him get caught up with math. And as he was, at the time of trial, he was in eighth grade, he had excellent grades, he was doing very well in school.
So Lucas was 14 at the time.
Correct, Your Honor.
And he spoke to the judge to tell the judge what his preferences were.
Correct, he did. And he indicated in chambers that his preference was to be with his father. Again, the court indicated, at least on the first and third factors, that Ms. Olson was doing everything correct. There was nothing negative about what she was doing there. The sole reason the child testified as to why he wanted to live with his father was some of the conditions in the house. The house was not as clean as he wanted it to be. There were some pictures that were offered into evidence. Ms. Olson testified that those pictures did not represent the accurate state of the house on a regular day-to-day basis. It was just at that point in time the pictures were taken. The house was not clean.
There were some problems with pets.
Correct. And Ms. Olson addressed that at trial. She had indicated that one of the cats had marking his territory and urinated on the child's mattress. Since that time, the mattress had been sanitized. It was an isolated incident. It had not happened again. We believe that the judge, rather than kind of balancing these three relevant factors, he placed an inordinate amount of weight upon the preference of the child.
She had also moved to three different communities in Nebraska after she moved here from Minnesota, is that correct?
Yes, you're correct. She initially moved with her family, I believe it was in Osceola, but then the family home was being sold and she had to move, and she went to Columbus for a short period of time until she found employment in Lincoln. So she moved to Lincoln, and that's where the child was attending school at the time of trial.
And the appellee had remained in a fairly steady position and had a home with a bedroom for Luke up in Minneapolis, I believe, is that correct?
Correct. But the trial court judge did not hold, I don't believe he held those moves, or I don't believe she held those moves against Ms. Olson. I don't believe in her order or her decree that she had indicated that caused instability. But despite all that, we have this minor child who's doing outstanding in school. And we have the fact that for 10 years, these parties, between the two of them, came up with a parenting plan and then this order from the court kind of upset that apple cart.
Counsel, I'd like to turn to the issue of the granting of the removal to Minnesota.
Absolutely.
As a part of the custody order.
Absolutely.
And one of your assigned errors is that the court didn't do what we call the Farnsworth analysis.
Yes, Your Honor.
Even though the court in its comments after trial indicated that it would do a Farnsworth analysis.
That's correct.
But it's not really found in the order, although best interests sort of mesh together under the two standards. So let me ask you this. If we agree the court didn't at least specifically do it in its order, can we do that on our own in our de novo review?
Yes, I do believe so, and I do believe that there is sufficient evidence on the record to address each of the Farnsworth factors. Now, this isn't a traditional Farnsworth case because we don't have a parent in Nebraska with custody seeking to move out of Nebraska. This is an original establishment of custody where one parent is in one state and the other parent is here in Nebraska.
But the courts have applied Farnsworth in
Correct.
Initial custody cases.
Absolutely, and I would expect that they would do so. And I don't know if a detailed Farnsworth analysis is necessarily required in this, but rather than they kind of looking at the three broad factors under Farnsworth.
I guess what wouldn't really fit here is there would be no question about the legitimacy of the father's desire to live in Minnesota.
Absolutely. The motives, I would agree that the motive.
So
are,
then you go to the best interests.
Correct, which is like the second prong of that. And that's the potential that the move holds for enhancing the quality of life for the child and the custodial parent. And in my brief, I try to address each of those nine sub-factors and kind of doing a balancing test on each one of those. And again, focusing on the fact that what Ms. Olson was doing with this, with her son was working for 10 years. They had a parenting time schedule that they cooperated, they worked with each other. It heavily involved the help of the grandparents. Everything seemed to be working, and it seemed to be working great.
In fact, the court found your client to be a fit parent.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. And additionally, one of the parts of the Farnsworth analysis is looking at what type of parenting time would work, and that kind of leads to that the final assignment, the final error that was assigned, which was the summer parenting time. I believe both sides have agreed that that is a valid error, that the judge abused the discretion or committed plain error by only allowing Ms. Olson parenting time every other summer in their decree.
This situation is unique in the fact that I don't think we've had another case prior where the parent seeking custody has been in the same location, has never been in Nebraska, whereas the mother and the child move from that location to Nebraska.
Correct. Correct. Nor have we had a case where they've been separated for 10 years prior to the original establishment
right.
of custody.
And there was no prior custody order in this case.
That's correct.
Now,
That's
in the
correct.
Paternity cases, have they in a situation similar to this, if this were a paternity case, would they have required a Farnsworth analysis?
Yes, actually they would. There would be just a kind of the basic Farnsworth analysis, just kind of looking at the three general analysis. I believe like the Coleman-Kaler case talks about that, how there's just a general Farnsworth analysis, maybe not as in detail as in other cases.
Well, couldn't you argue that that's what the court did here? They did a general Farnsworth analysis. They just didn't break it down into the nine different categories.
I suppose it could be argued that. We could argue just about anything, Judge. whether or not that's correct, though, remains to be seen.
Well, she went on for three or four pages delineating the evidence and saying why she thought it was in the best interest of
She did
of
a best interest analysis for the child based upon that present situation, but I don't think she spent enough time looking at the effect of a move from Nebraska to Minnesota, the effect that would have upon mom's parenting time, as well as the relationship the child would have that he has here existing with his half-sibling, as well as the maternal family here. There was not a whole lot of analysis on that issue, which are included as part of the Farnsworth analysis.
Can you remind me what the record shows the distance between where each party lives is?
If my recollection is correct, I believe it was about 9 hours, seven to 9 hours range.
It would be Lincoln to Minneapolis, right?
Correct, Lincoln to Minneapolis. So I'll reserve the remainder of my time unless there's questions.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Stephanie Kodick and I represent Andrew Olson in this matter. In the bill of exceptions found on page 176, 20 to 25. The trial judge did specifically outline, as pointed out by Judge Pirtle, that she was going to be reviewing a Farnsworth analysis in this case. And I do believe that once you get past a legitimate reason, which I believe that because of this unique circumstances and that Mr. Olson was living in Minnesota at the time, and so he obviously had a legitimate reason to stay in Minnesota, the next prong of Farnsworth is the best interest. And I agree that the trial judge laid out several pages of why she believed that it was in the best interest for Lucas to go to live with her with his father.
Do you think she was required to do the formal Farnsworth 9-factor analysis?
I believe that she needed to take the issues into consideration. I believe that she needed to make those considerations. I don't necessarily know that in this circumstance that an actual formal Farnsworth analysis is necessary when she's looking at the best interest. I agree that the trial judge did not find that mom was not a fit parent, but again, this is not a modification where we have to look at parental fitness specifically in order to change custody. There was no custody order before that. So while there was no finding that she was not a fit parent, I don't believe that there was a finding that Mr. Olson was more fit, or there needed to be that finding. And so I believe that just the best interest of the child was what was needed to be discussed. Mr. O'Dell stated something along the lines of that the sole reason, and I agree, I do believe that the trial judge put a lot of her decision on what Lucas actually said. And this was a very unique case because mom wasn't represented at the trial level. A guardian ad litem was appointed for Lucas specifically because of the fact that mom did not have an attorney, and so that there was somebody that could help guide through the court and help mom a little bit to go through and help with the court process. Due to that, and due to the fact that my client wanted Lucas to be able to speak freely with the court, neither me nor mom were back in chambers with Lucas. It was just the judge and the guardian ad litem. So there was no pressure on either side as to who he was going to be addressing. I think it's also important to note that the guardian ad litem made recommendations that he did believe that it was in the best interest for the child to go live in Minnesota. He didn't make findings that mom was unfit. He didn't make findings that Lucas was in danger, but the guardian ad litem also specifically stated that he thought that it was in Lucas's best interest to go to Minnesota to live with dad. Going back to what I had started to say about Mr. O'Dell made the comment that one of the things that Lucas took issue with was that the house was not as clean as he wanted it to be. I think that really downplays the things that Lucas said as to the condition of the home. Lucas testified that he went to school smelling like cat urine, and that kids commented about the fact that his clothes smelled like cat urine on one or two occasions. He testified that the animals would urinate on his bed, the cats would urinate on his bed, and if his door was left open, the cats would come in and urinate in his closet. He testified that, yes, the mattress was sanitized. He sanitized it himself, I think was the testimony, but then he could still smell it sometimes when he would roll over. And so it was not necessarily a matter of not as clean as he preferred it to be, because I don't think anybody prefers to go to school smelling like cat urine, having peers talk about the fact that they smell like cat urine, wondering where the smell is. The court also made comments about the fact that Mr. Olson, well, it is true, and Lucas was doing wonderfully in school once he was put back in public school. The testimony was that he was calling Mr. Olson to help him with his homework, that Mr. Olson was the one that would spend the time over the phone with him doing his homework when he was doing his math homework. I think Lucas testified to that, and I think Mr. Olson testified that they had many conversations a week going over homework.
What kind of weight should be given to the fact that mother was the custodial parent here, although there's never been a custodial determination for 10 years, and that this boy is doing really well?
I believe that there should probably be, the court needs to look at how well he's doing and give some of that credit to mom. I agree with that. However, I do believe that in these circumstances, again, everything presented to the court. When Mrs. Olson left and moved to Nebraska, that was what was best for the family at that time. She didn't have relatives in Minnesota. Her relatives lived in Nebraska. I believe that the testimony, if I remember correctly, was she wasn't working. She hadn't been working, and she moved back so that she could have the support of her family. I don't believe that because of how those circumstances played out and because it worked for the family for a period of 10 years, that should make Mr. Olson have less of a chance of getting custody if it's really in Lucas's best interest, and that's what Lucas wants to have happen, that he should get less of a chance and less of an opportunity to have custody and to be able to have Lucas come and live with him at that point in time.
And there was evidence that your client does have some extended family in Minneapolis.
Correct. His mother and father, and then I believe he had some siblings that lived in Minneapolis. The evidence was also that a lot of the extracurricular activities that Lucas was allowed to participate in, even in Nebraska, were paid for by Mr. Olson's parents. That Mr. Olson was the one that provided all of the transportation costs to have Lucas come and visit him, and in fact was in agreement with the court that he would continue to help with the transportation costs and ask that Mrs. Olson not pay any child support in order so that she could continue to have the visitation with Lucas without any expense to her.
You both agreed that the lower court made a mistake when she did not provide for the extended summer visitation to the appellant. Other than that, was everything pretty much agreed to in the parenting plan, assuming once you get by the custody determination? Was the rest of the visitation schedule agreed to or not?
No. I don't believe that there was a stipulation to the parenting plan. The parenting plan that was presented that the court basically adopted was the parenting plan that Mr. Olson provided to the court. And in that parenting plan, we had provided for summer visitation every year. However, the date of when it started changed. In the odd-numbered years, if I remember correctly, in the odd-numbered years, it started earlier because Lucas's birthday happened to be in the summer. And so we had started it so that one year Lucas would be with his father on his birthday, the next year Lucas would be with his mother on his birthday. I don't know why the court took out the odd or the even-numbered years parenting time. That was not anything that we had ever asked. My assumption when it happened and when I told my client was that she possibly didn't want to have it changing on different dates and did not actually intend her not to have visitation every other summer. I don't know. That was never brought back up to the court to clarify.
Was there a motion for new trial or to alter or amend after that?
No, I don't know. There was
so
not.
This was your first opportunity to
correct
present your side, and it sounds like you both are in agreement that it should be what you proposed in your parenting plan.
Well, I believe that it should be what I proposed in my parenting plan. I guess I'm not sure what Ms. Olson's position is. However, yes, I do believe that it should be so that every other year that
she did assign error to the court's summer parenting time.
Correct.
Thank you.
Your Honors, with that, I am asking that the court uphold the remainder of the court's order. I do believe that the summer parenting time should be addressed, but with the remainder, I do believe that the court should uphold that, continue Lucas's custody with his father, with parenting with his mother.
Thank you. How much rebuttal time is remaining?
40 seconds, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. Again, the court did find both parents to be fit parents. The situation is not broken. We have 10 years of success, 10 years proven that the parenting time schedule that they had was working. There's no evidence that the parenting time schedule, when we flip it, was going to work. That's an uncertainty there. If the situation's not broken, why fix it? And I'll leave you with that thought.
Thank you very much. Thank you both for your appearance here today. Your case is submitted and you are excused.